Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am Michelle Berquist, your host today of Women Who Lead, and I am delighted to tell you our topic today is really interesting on the date and the timing, because our topic today is Leading by My Ponytail, Why Can't I Wear Pink and Be President? And for those of you that are our listeners, today is the inauguration of our new president, the 45th president of the United States. But I am happy to introduce that we have two amazing leading ladies who are the authors of the book, Leading by My Ponytail, Why Can't I Wear Pink and Be President, who we're going to have an amazing discussion on. And I want to introduce one leading lady, one who is Dr. Julie Ducharme. She is the president of, because I also have Dr. Karen Walker on here as well, and both of them are part of the book authors, but Julie is the president of JD Consulting, and Karen Walker is a lieutenant colonel, retired lieutenant colonel, but from the Marine Corps. So please, both of you ladies, say hello to all of our listeners, and I think I bumbled that because y'all are amazing ladies, but say hello to our listeners.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks so much for having us, Michelle.
Well, yes, I have to say, Karen, thank you for your service, because that's what we want to do. And I am going to have, I think, a real pleasure, because you interviewed me quite a few weeks ago on my book. But I am getting the chance to, interview you on your book, Leading by My Ponytail. And I have to say, the book title alone just causes you to want to open the book and look at more. So, Julie, I'm just going to ask you, how did you guys come up with the concept of the book, and kind of give us a little overview of why I, as a woman, wear pink and be president? Or can I? That's the big question, I think.
Well, it's really interesting, because the two titles, the first part of the title is Karen's title and the second part is mine. And that Why Can't I Wear Pink and Be the President actually was something I wrote probably about close to 9 years ago, when I was really frustrated at the stereotypes that were being thrown at me about being a woman but yet wanting to be a leader. So I wrote a small article on it titled that way. And then, of course, Karen and I got together and we started talking about our frustrations and our successes and the barriers. And we said, hey, we need to write on this. We need to reach out to other women and have real talks with them about this. And Karen had the title as well, Leading by My Ponytail. So we merged them together and came together and started, putting together our experiences. Mine from a CEO perspective, Karen's from an officer in the military. And we kind of put that together. And that was kind of how it came together.
Right. Absolutely.
Pretty cool.
And the Leading by My Ponytail, that's, being in the military, that's one of the things that just kind of stands out, especially as a female officer. I mean, you stand out anyways because we're one of few, but, if you're out there in front, got to have your hair up all the time. So it was just something that was catchy that I really thought is representative of, leadership as well. And it does kind of catch your ear, so.
And I know both of you are very, I think both of you are all about women's empowerment and really helping women, kind of bust the stereotypes, so to speak, and just some of the different things that go on, not only in the workplace, but just in business in general. But, who would like to go? I'll do it this way, because I know both of you are such great spokespersons for the book. But, a couple of the concepts I liked was, your book talks about the I perspective, both all of or both of your experiences, as opposed to feeling like when I was reading the book, you were telling me what to do. I liked yours. That was kind of from your perspective, your experiences. Do either one of you want to kind of hit on that? Because I thought it was an interesting twist on a book, is that this is, you know, a lot of it is coming from both of your experiences and being a leader and a female leader.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll go first, Julie. I don't want to step on you, but I think, well, we try to come at it from two angles, like you said, Michelle. One is from a lady in corporate, you know, is Julie, and then from a lady in uniform, myself. But we felt there was a real need out there for, you know, women to be able to say, look, I am a leader, and this is how I lead. And be proud of that. And so I think that's kind of the way that we did it, was just kind of giving our experiences and things that we've seen and heard and lived. And that's kind of how it grew. But go ahead, Julie.
Think, learn, and live. Julie, what about you?
I think as well, you know, Karen and I both entered into leadership positions really young. I mean, I started teaching college at age 23. Which I think, who in the world let me teach a college class at age 23? But then I found myself in leadership positions at a very young age, and I was struggling with being able to embrace my femininity and be a leader. And I never had any women mentoring me, giving me any advice, and so I was following the advice of my male counterparts, which I love dearly, but their type of leadership style wasn't the right one for me. And so when we started thinking about this in this book, Karen and I are very much, we did a lot of academics, and so we started writing, and we'd read it, and I'd go, that's way too academic. We need to have conversations with our fellow women about what's been happening with us and hopefully help them be able to learn from our experiences and give some tips as well. I remember in particular reading a book about 101 things that women do wrong in the workplace, and it was all about being a woman. What you do wrong was, the book was all about, you're a woman. That's what you're doing wrong. And so, you know, I very much read that and went, wait a second. It just basically told me I can't be a woman or anything like a woman. So, you know, that's kind of where our passion stemmed from, and the empowerment of really challenging women to embrace the femininity, embrace who they are, and move to that leadership position, because women leadership isn't bad. I think it's unique.
Very unique. You know, can you expand on that a little bit? Because, you know, again, just because we've had a conversation on this, and it's like I live in the pool of women all day long that are in business who kind of share, when you say embracing your femininity, I know for a lot of women, and especially our listeners, might say, well, you know, how do I embrace my femininity and then get the job done? Because a lot of women will say, well, you know, like the men I interviewed, well, you're telling me I have to be a man. And that's not what you're saying at all. But then that's almost like the opposite. How can a woman embrace her femininity and still be an effective leader? Some tips for our listeners maybe on that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think, and that gets into one of the key aspects that we talk about in the book is self-efficacy. And that's really your personal belief in your ability to succeed. And I think that's something that as women we struggle with is our own self-efficacy of leadership. And, you know, because if you turn to anyone and you ask, who's a leader that you really respect, you know, I'd say more than 9 times out of 10 you're going to get a man's name. I mean, it's just not something
right.
that our society has inbred in us yet. So I think number one, the most important thing is knowing your job and being competent in your job and feeling confident in that. And the more you kind of own that, then you develop your leadership style and owning your femininity in the sense of that it's okay to be you in your leadership style.
Yeah, definitely.
Julie, any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, you know, and to be really honest, you know, I played sports for a long time. Karen and I talk about being vulnerable in the workplace, and that's really difficult for me because I'm a very much, I worked very hard to create that tough woman persona and, you know, fight my way to the top. And then when we really started studying this and really trying to learn how to be better leaders and embrace our femininity, that was really difficult for me as a woman because I had been trained not to embrace my femininity and not to be vulnerable. And we do a talk about being how to be vulnerable and still be successful in the workplace because everything out there is going to tell you not to be vulnerable. And Karen knows that I say this all the time, like that's difficult for me as a woman because I haven't been trained like that. But as I've learned to embrace my leadership style as a woman and my vulnerability, I've become an even better leader because I've been able to we talk about women aren't great at supporting other women. We're kind of the opposite. And so I've learned to really embrace my fellow women, to rejoice in what they're doing, to support them and mentor them where I wasn't doing that years ago. I was trying to just figure it out myself. And so, you know, it always feels like taboo because that's what everyone says. Don't be vulnerable. You can't have relationships with people. You can't do this and this. And really, you can. But you have to be willing to break those stereotypes and move in that positive direction.
Well, and I'm curious for what, you know, to me, vulnerability, man, I was always brought up in commercial banking. This was the 80s, right, when I was in my career in commercial banking was never let them see you sweat, and especially men. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you're on it, you've got it. Can you give an example of what being vulnerable means? I'm not really getting it. I mean, and that doesn't mean be emotional. What does vulnerable mean?
Right. Well, I'll speak, you know, especially being in the Marine Corps, right? I mean, you think of a Marine Corps, how you're going to be vulnerable. And just like Julie said, I think we've both done a lot of research on this and lived it. So a lot of my research was in women leading men. And I set out thinking that it was going to be a lot of people saying this is really hard to do. And the conclusion was that leading men was easy. And one of the biggest contributors to that was, you know, being able to be yourself. And that meant being vulnerable and accepting you for you and the skills that you bring to the table. So, I mean, in a sense of being vulnerable, you know, that's that piece, that element of being able to walk into the room wearing, you know, that off-color blazer or something, or, you know, wearing those shoes. You know, those are light examples. But also, you know, there was a woman I worked with who said that she was a hugger. And at the time, I was like, why would she do that? That's so, you know, that goes against everything. Like, she's not going to look tough, you know. But it really just built her relationships with people. So part of being vulnerable is letting your true self show to people, and that's how you can strengthen everything in your life, really, your relationships professionally and personally.
I love that. One, because I love to hug. I'm like, I don't care if it's men or women. It's like I'm a huge hugger, and to me, it's like somebody wants to shake my hand. I'm like, nah, I'll take a hug, you know? I mean, sometimes it's like it could backfire. But I think I get it. I like that. And, you know, and I want our listeners to know they got to get the book. But I was looking at some of your chapters, and it's like, I'm going to share with our listeners. It's like doing it in heels, wear pink and be proud. So I have boobs. What's the big deal? I love these. One of my other favorites, speak softly and carry a big handbag. And I'm dying to know a little more about what you meant by speak softly and carry a big handbag, along with, we'll come back to the boobs, but, you know, what does speak softly and carry a big handbag mean? So that one, I'd love to know what are some tips you have in that part of your book.
Oh, right, well, absolutely.
That was your chapter. You do that
those
chapter,
are good.
Karen.
Those are good.
I'll do the boob chapter.
I was going to say, Julie has to do all the boobs chapters. She's very gifted there. So I was speaking from experience, you know, being in the military, and usually when I tell people, oh, yes, you know, I'm a Marine, they're like, huh? First of all, do they let women in the Marine Corps? And then, you know, second of all, how were you a Marine and your voice is so sweet? So that's kind of the angle that I took with that chapter, just showing kind of how, you know, my voice being unique and somewhat soft-spoken is I didn't have to yell and scream to be a good leader. And sometimes, you know, if you're able to actually speak softer, people are going to lean in to listen, and instead of talking over you. And it also helps you to think a little bit more about other advantages you have, especially being a leader or a boss in the workplace, that you can, in the sense of using your handbag of tools, the military I was speaking of, kind of your enlisted Marines, senior enlisted Marines that are there to support you and guide you, but also to train your Marines. So you lean a lot on their experience and you learn from that. And I think that's kind of where that came from or generated from. But all my time deployed as well, I was spent controlling aircraft over the radio waves. So
wow.
I actually became quite popular for my voice, which is kind of comical, you know, now when I think about it.
You know, I'm curious, Karen, because, I mean, first of all, you have a very sweet voice. I'm just going to say, oh, my gosh. But I know if you were in the military, there had to have been kind of that voice that you had as you were a lieutenant colonel. So is there like a difference in your voice when you're communicating, you know, authority and let's say power or influence? I mean, do you change? And like, I know for me, when I'm in a situation where I'm trying to lead people, I know I've learned to lower my voice, speak a little slower, you know, not talk like a girl where I love to do and I hang up here. But do you do any of those voice inflections to kind of create more influence for yourself like we've been told we should do?
I think consciously I do know I have to kind of go to, you know, that lower place of like your diaphragm in a sense of that way in the military command presence when I'm talking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really just to reach a larger crowd. But I've been very fortunate, I think, in just sticking to that model, you know, and I refer to it as the FSET model, but really being knowing my job and feeling comfortable in that. And then when you're able to get out there, you know, it kind of helps you, I guess, speak louder in a sense because you're comfortable and you're competent and you're confident in that. So I think that's helped me.
Very good. Well, I mean, I know both of you are very passionate about women's leadership and women's empowerment. And, you know, Julie, this is for you because of working in a university system. I mean, what are some of the skills you feel you've used best based on maybe some of the points from your book, but as a leader within the university system? And because you're a teacher, a trainer, you're an entrepreneur, oh my gosh, and a doctor, you know, I mean, you've got like more than a trifecta of titles. How do you command authority and influence within the university system?
Well, I was able to have some really great experiences as a chair over several programs and eventually an associate dean over 20 business colleges. And it was a really interesting experience because I was doing that before I was 30 years old and I looked young. And so when I would go to hire people, they would typically say to me, oh, I'm looking for Dr. Ducharme. And I said, well, I'm Dr. Ducharme. And I received comments like, but I'm older than you. And you look too young to be the boss. And, you know, I'd be like, well, I am. So you probably better, you know, decide you want to change, you know, your attitude there because I'm the hiring person. You know, but I received a lot of stereotypes. And, you know, being a tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed woman, we know the stereotypes that come with that. And so I had to really fight past that I deserved to be there and I was good enough to be there. And I had to really prove myself, which I kind of innocently didn't realize that I needed to. You know, I grew up in my family, my mom and dad never told me I couldn't do something. They never did. So I never had that perception that I couldn't. I had the perception of why not? I like doing this. Let's go for
it. I love that.
When I ran into the barriers, it was like, whoa, wait, what do you mean I'm too young to be doing this? Why, you know? So I had to really establish myself. And first thing I did was, of course, you know, put on the suit, put the hair in a bun, make myself look older was my first attempt at that.
Mm.
because I felt I needed to gain respect. And at that time in the industry and the academic world, you know, people are looking for older people. It's definitely changed over the last 17 years that I've been in it. But and then I had to prove myself. I had to be not just good. I had to be the best at what I did, because I had to prove to my counterparts that, yes, I may be younger, but I wasn't given this job because I was cute. I was given it because I deserved it. And I had to really fight for that and be the best that I could be. Now, that was a big learning curve for me, and I didn't have any mentors. It was really pretty much jump in and figure it out. But now I use my tools. I'm very collaborative with anyone I'm working with. I believe in collaboration. I believe in being surrounded by the best of the best, because it just makes you better. And I, you know, very much believe in collaborating with all male and female counterparts, but I'm very much reaching out to my female counterparts, because in the past it was don't include someone. You don't want them to make you look bad if they're better than you. And now I'm just like, how can we collaborate together and to become this really great superpower that makes a difference, whether it's in academia or business? You know, I fully believe that women can bring so much to the table in any industry. And so I really use the tools of collaboration, teamwork. I really work hard to not only bring a positive environment, but, you know, help my colleagues have a positive experience, because it just turns everything into such an amazing, innovative working environment.
Right.
And so, you know, it's one of the things that I, you know, we could talk forever and all the different things, but I kind of learned the hard way, which I hope I can empower and work with other women so they don't have to learn the hard way. I did have some wonderful women mentors that came in along the way that really helped me out over the last, I'd say, 4 or 5 years, that I just kind of went, I need some help. I want some direction on this. And they came in and they've been really wonderful, and I'm very thankful for that. But yeah, the industry, any industry you're in, whether it's academia, business, it's tough. But then throw yourself into a male-dominated environment where you need to prove yourself, that's even tougher, you know, which
right.
a lot of women are doing. And they're doing it successfully. But, you know, I mean, Karen, you talking about male-dominated environments, I mean, you, that's what you lived in for, I don't know, 15-plus years. So.
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
I'm dying to know. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Karen, because I was going to ask. I mean, my gosh, tell us about your military experience and, you know, how did you climb, claw, or get your way to lieutenant colonel? Because it is definitely not female-friendly from what I hear and understand.
Well, I think it's more so, you know, nothing's going to be given to you. That's kind of the mantra of the Marine Corps. You know, everything is earned and nothing is given. And certainly it was a very hard road, but I like a challenge, and that's probably, well, I know that's how they got me originally. But I do have to clarify, though, that I am still a reservist, so I'm about to hit 19 years, and so I have not retired. They're still dangling the carrot for me. We'll see how long I stick around. But I will say that one of the heaviest things on my heart now, from my experiences, you know, on deployment, you know, in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom, and then getting off of active duty and then going into the reserves, was just that transition. And so that's kind of where my heart has been and my focus has been lately, is that transition, especially for our female veterans. And I think knowing your worth, and that's something that Julie and I talk about so often, is for women,
mm-hmm.
Especially
love
for
that.
Making
I
that
love
transition
that.
In your life. Yeah.
Well, and you guys have an event coming up, right? Because you are definitely focused, you know, for support of veterans. And you've got in Combat Boots to Heels. Do you want to tell some of our listeners about your upcoming event that you're very dedicated to? And
sure, absolutely.
Can you share some details about
it?
Yeah, great.
I'll talk a little bit about it, and then I'll also let Julie chime in, because there's another component to it. This is the veteran side, that we offer, called Combat Boots to Heels. And it is essentially a training program for the transition, specifically for female veterans, because there is a need. It's a big gap there. And actually, female veterans is one of the biggest growing populations for homelessness right now. And, you know, I myself, you know, I understand the struggle of having to make the transition, because after I got off active duty, you know, I found myself, even with a PhD, I found myself unemployed for close to a year. And a lot of that comes to, you know, being able to understand your worth in that transition. And so I think that's really what our focus is on, being able to help women veterans to assess kind of their skills and then how to go with their passions into this transition into the next step. And, wow. And I'll let Julie talk.
Hey, Julie,
well,
your turn.
I mean, my turn. Yeah, there's what we're hoping to do, and we are still nailing down the date, but we are going to be hopefully doing an event in the next couple months for women veterans, which will allow them to come in and basically not only meet many other organizations that support veterans and women veterans, but also have several different sessions, everything from empowerment sessions to how to do a resume, you know, transferring that military info over into layman terms for bosses, interviewing, makeup, clothing, and so much more, because we really want to just have this big empowerment session and help continue to move the women along. So we will be posting more information about that on our website, leadingbymyponytail.com. As it evolved, we just got our sponsor who's going to sponsor the event, and so now we're just trying to nail down that date. But we do that as well as we do also classes for women called Slippers to Stilettos, which as well is, you know, a program, a class. I know, it's fun, right?
No, they are fun. Based. I love it.
So, but basically, we want to help women make that transition, and our Slippers to Stilettos program is really great because we have women who maybe have been out of work for 10 years and they're wanting to go back and they're really trying to find their place. We have women who are really young and they're just not sure what they want to do or where they want to go or what's the next step. And so they're doing that program to help move them in that direction. You know, and our goal is to help guide and lead and empower and help move them in that positive direction. Because Karen and I always talk about, we had really wonderful mothers, but they weren't doing this. And so we kind of had to find our own path this way. And so, you know, we want to be able to be a helpful stepping stone as we move in that direction.
Well, you know, I have to say, one of the things I'm really impressed with is how the two of you, I mean, collaborated on a book. It's like you guys are doing these, you know, kind of initiatives together. I mean, what brought the two of you together? How did you two meet? And, you know, you're really giving, I think, other women a role model, but by the relationship the two of you have built. I mean, there are a lot of women that just don't collaborate like that. So what have been the kind of keys to your success in co-authoring a book together? And you both are from such different backgrounds. I mean, what kind of like aligned you that you can share with our listeners that they could keep in mind? We want to see more women collaborate like this.
Right.
Well, Karen and I played basketball together in college, and we were roommates our senior year, right, Karen? Our senior year.
Yeah, the senior year.
And then Karen joined the military. And then, of course, this was before internet and Facebook were popular and all
hey,
that.
Hey,
now
hey,
you're dating
don't
yourself.
Don't tell us all that. Yeah,
you're dating yourself.
Okay. But Karen joined, and then shortly after that, 9/11 happened. And we kind of lost each other for about 10 years, right, Karen? Was it about?
Oh, wow.
And then we found each other on Facebook because I didn't know where Karen was, where she'd gotten deployed to, or how to get a hold of her. And so we found each other. We're excited about that. And, you know, we just started talking. I think we've always had a kinship, right, Karen, of just, you know, I don't know.
I think it was the connection that, you know, we hadn't talked in so long. And then when we reconnected, it was like, oh, I got my PhD. Oh, I just got my doctorate. And then it was like, oh, I'm working on this book about, you know, femininity and leadership. Oh, I'm working on this book. And so we were like,
wow.
Oh, my gosh, you know what, together. Because, and then also I think what really helps and is the fact that, you know, we're both working moms and time is always an issue and time management, of course. But I think with us being able to collaborate in a helpful way for each other, that's really the benefit, I think, is that, you know, we hold each other accountable, even throughout writing our book. You know, I would send a chapter, and then, you know, I'd be on her like, okay, you know, you have another week, and then she would do the same to me. So, you know, we held each other accountable, and we try to stick to that same thing now. Like, if I have time to help, I'm going to help. If she has time to help, she's going to help. And we know that the end goal is really something that we both believe in.
Well, and you know, on top of that, now you guys are not close together. I mean, like, I know we're based here in San Diego, California, but Julie, you're in San Diego, but Karen, you're on the East Coast. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. I live in Maryland and work in D.C. So especially this week's been hectic, but yeah, we make it happen. But... we definitely do. And I think it gives us a little bit of an advantage, you know, because we get that West Coast feel, and then we get a little East Coast feel. So we enjoy it.
And you know, I love being Karen's biggest fan. You know, I mean, I think one of the...
You both are fans of each other. You're like a married couple.
Yeah.
Like, one jumps in, the other one jumps in, the other gives a compliment, then the other one does. You guys are good. I think it's good. Sorry, Julie, go ahead.
Well, no, but, you know, I think something that's become really... what I love is I have some really wonderful girlfriends, and I love supporting them, and I love seeing them be successful. I actually kind of tried to trim out of my life drama or negative relationships that weren't producing anything good, and focus on really great women in my life who are doing really wonderful things and I can support. And they all do a lot of different things than me. We don't all do the same thing, but it's so great to see what they're doing, to rejoice in their success. And, you know, collaboration for me, at least, has just brought a big blessing in my life, and it's brought joy. And I always feel like, hey, why not be a fan for someone and rejoice in their life and not pick at it? So, and you know, it's like I said, I mean, Karen's one of my best friends, so it's great to work together. And, you know, it is a bummer we're so far apart, but, you know, I saw her in October and she's coming out in February. So, you know,
there you go. And then we have Skype now and video conferencing. So there's, but I think it's an amazing story how you two have come together and what you're trying to do to move the needle forward for women in business. You know, I've only got a couple minutes left, but I'm really curious, you know, some elements of your book, and this is for each of you, and Julie, I'll start with you, but what would be kind of three main, I know there's a ton of them, and I want to encourage our listeners, can you just share where individuals can get Leading by My Ponytail? Is it, I'm assuming, on Amazon, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon, is that the place you want to?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, I mean, all the major outlets, but I know everyone likes to use Amazon. I mean, that's pretty easy, and it's Amazon Prime, so you can get it really quick on there. But, yeah, any of the major outlets, but Amazon and Barnes & Noble are two big ones they can go to.
Well, I'm really enjoying the book, and it's an easy read because it's a short read, but it's just chock full of some good information. So as the last question I have for both of you, or almost my last one, what would be a couple of tips that you might give women just under some of the slices of advice that are in the book, based on a different perspective each of you can share? So Julie, you first, what are a couple of tips that you might give to other women, you know, just based on the book and some of the things you had, you know, it was great information.
I think if you can find a mentor, I think that's important. Doesn't matter how long you've been in the industry. One of the best things is to have someone to bounce something off of and get a second opinion. My other tip is, if you're angry or frustrated, give it a day before you respond to any emails or any people.
Such good advice.
Those are my two tips.
That's a pretty good one. Can I just add to that one? I would say, and don't reply to all. But that's just because you brought up email.
Yeah,
and I'm
right?
Like, don't reply to all, please, people. Anyway, sorry, Karen. Go ahead. What would be your tips?
No. Absolutely. I think I'm going to go right along with that. It's just... you have a responsibility to be professional, and that's like my number one tip, you know, especially all my experiences in the Marine Corps and leading young Marines especially is, you know, they say about, you know, the making a first impression and all that, but, you know, stepping out into your role, you really do have a responsibility to be professional as a lady in the workplace. And then secondly, I would say that your emotional intelligence is a unique skill, and you should not try to hide it. I mean, that's something you need to capitalize on.
That's pretty good advice, ladies. I mean, here's my final question, and your final answer will be this, but, you know, what's next for both of you? I mean, paint us a picture of what, you know, the new year. We're at 2017, and it's like, what's the kind of future for the two of you that are maybe right there on the cusp of happening for you in the new year?
Oh, gosh, we are finishing up we've got a lot of projects, but we've got our classes, the First Six Stilettos and Combat Boots to Heels. We're in the process of collaborating with quite a few different veteran groups to create a good, successful partnership. We're also doing different speaking venues. Karen, what else am I missing?
Oh, gosh. Every time I turn around, Julie's got another thing for us to do. So I was going to say, man, I think I'm preparing for 2020 for Julie's run at the White House. I don't know.
Oh, there you go. She put it out there, girls.
We encourage each other, and whatever ideas come in, you know, we both just love being involved, and I think we run with it.
You guys are great. Well, that's our show. And I just want to say thank you to both of you for being our leading ladies today. To all of our listeners, please, please, please take a look at the book and order it online, which is Leading by My Ponytail. And our leading ladies today, Dr. Julie Ducharme and Dr. Karen Walker, you two have been lovely on today, which is the inauguration of our new president. I think there's a lot of voices and opinions out there, but we as women, if we really, truly can support one another, I think we're on the right track to see the needle move forward. So thank you for being on our show. I always say thank you to our listeners for listening in. We are here every Monday morning at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. And our Monday show, I'm delighted to say that our next leading lady in our topic, our leading lady is Sherry Nassim, who's the president and CEO of the Center for Executive Excellence. And our topic is 5 generations side by side, which to me is incredible when you think about it, that we have 5 generations of adults in the workplace today. And that creates a lot of opportunity and a lot of struggle.
Yeah.
So I hope you'll listen in. And again, it's Women Lead Radio. And please go out there and support other women and help the next one in line. Have a great weekend.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.